Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new Sunday Roast, and we've got two new co-hosts with us. Liz, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, everyone. I'm absolutely over the moon and delighted to be here as co-host of the Sunday Roast. And I am Liz Webster. I am the founder of Save British Farming. And I generally just go around hating Brexit because I want to save British farming, which is all about your food.
And Big Madge, please introduce yourself.
Hey, all. I'm Big Madge Studios. I run the Big Madge Studios channel. And I've been on this channel before a good few times. So you know who I am.
Emergency co-host in the past and now full co-host. Promotion. Awesome.
We made it.
My name's Alex Kerr. I'm also Political X. I'm a YouTuber, journalist, historian, and author. So we're going to go straight into it. Sick man of Europe. Are we the sick man of Europe, Liz?
Well, wasn't this just inevitable? I remember actually writing on my Facebook page before Brexit happened and saying we were going to end up the sick man of Europe. Of course, this was inevitable. Brexit was, you know, really bad idea. Putting up trade barriers between, you know, yourself and your biggest market is really not a good idea. It literally just destroys your economy. It gives you problems with food. It makes you weak. And it's just doing as we said it would do. And we're proving the liars for the liars that they are. And every day more people are waking up, not enough, but we are officially the sick man of Europe. Yeah.
How are you finding it within farming? I know you probably said it 1,000 times, but it's always good to rehash these things as your new co-host.
Farming is on its knees. And we are the official sacrificial lambs of Brexit, including fishing, which is still about food. And it is equally as bad as it's probably worse than we anticipated, because we didn't know that we'd get the Ukraine war and COVID as well on top of Brexit. So those things have expedited the destruction of the industry. And it's devastating. You know, farmers are going out of business, they're committing suicide, and our food security is in the bin.
Do you feel as if the media are taking this as seriously as they should, or are you getting traction with the media?
So, I mean, it's faddish, isn't it? People think that food comes from the supermarket. And at the moment, you know, we're in the sort of busy period of food production. We're just coming through harvest. So there's plenty of food around in Europe, but we're about to go into a difficult snap. You know, I think there probably will be more again. But the media really don't look any further than the next week or so ahead, do they? That's the problem. And farmers look a long term. You know, here with Castle, we're looking at least 5 years ahead, you know, 5 years at a time, which is why we were able to look at Brexit and go, this is a really bad idea. And that's where we are. But people aren't really understanding the reality of sovereignty. Sovereignty is, if you don't have food sovereignty, you don't have sovereignty. If you don't have energy sovereignty, you don't have sovereignty. We didn't have energy sovereignty because we rely on the European mainland for our energy. So thinking that you could get sovereignty from connecting yourself off from all of that, disconnecting yourself, was just a stupid idea. So how many times can I say this? We are weakening ourselves. You know, John Major was on BBC last night, and absolutely everything he said, everything he has said all the way through this is 100% correct. And we've just had gaslighting going on from the other side, trying to justify their lies. And every day, those lies are looking more and more obvious. Some people still don't want to admit it, too many in my view. And obviously, because Labour, the new government, are still playing along with Theresa May's red lines and making out that they still need to worship Brexit, that only just buys in the the psychology problems that people have got behind, you know, with Brexit, that they want to believe that it's, that somehow it's going to work its way through. Like, you know, I'll set my house on fire and somehow it'll be, it'll rebuild itself magically. Right. You know, it's just stupid.
There's only one thing that we should all be worshipping.
What's that?
The lamp.
Lava lamp.
The lava lamp. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Madge, what are your thoughts on being the... Are we the sick man of Europe?
I mean, I think the economy just flatlined, right? We're at 0% growth, so I guess we are definitely the sick man of Europe. I think our economy is doing really just awfully. We went from the fastest growing economy in the G7, and it's gone. Like, it was all these growth gains we're getting are completely false anyways. But it's just, it's a complete disaster. You know, we're holding a title held by such countries such as Turkey and Russia. So we're in good company. Very, very good company there. In terms of holding the title of sick man of Europe. Yeah, you know, world-beating sickness we have. Very ill, but I don't see it recovering. I see more austerity down the line, taking money from pensioners. Just a really dumb idea on their part.
I just don't see how anything that Starmer does he can fix, because it's pulling, you'll pull resources out of something else. So if he goes and does something for the NHS, then he's got to take away resources from elsewhere. Doesn't seem to want to tax the rich. Go on, Madge.
He doesn't have to. I mean, it's a choice. These fiscal rules are a choice at the end of the day. They are choosing to do this. Again, there are countries with higher debt to GDP ratio than ours. I've spoken about France. I think they're at 121. Macron just borrowed enough money to nationalize or further nationalize EDF. So the money is there for infrastructure projects and whatnot, but the government are choosing just not to do it because they set these stupid fiscal rules in place. That's what the IFS said from the jump. They said these fiscal rules will cause problems. And at the end of the day, like, you know, they can talk about Liz Truss and all that kind of stuff, but she's an anomaly. All we're going back to is George Osborne. George Osborne with some public sector pay increases. So better, I guess, but not by much.
What's Starmer seeing that we're not then?
I think because they ran on the idea that the government have maxed out the credit card, the Tories have, for them to borrow more would be quite toxic. I think what they're trying to do is just stay a bit more popular than the Tories. That's about it. And say, look, isn't it, you know, better than it was under the Conservatives? Under Liz Truss, for example. That's it. It's just going to be... Because if you look at it, I mean, even on under the austerity budget, somehow David Cameron won that 2015 election. Somehow Theresa May, you know, she got the most seats in that 2017 election. So you can be crappy in government. You just have to be better than the other team. That's pretty much it. And so I think that's what they see. You know, don't scare the media by letting the media say, oh, you know, they're maxing out the credit cards. Look how much debt we're in and et cetera, things like that. I think that's what they're doing. But it's just, it's economic illiteracy. Like, I think his name is Danny Blanchflower. He's a serious economist. He's called this out endlessly. He said, I didn't think Labour were going to do austerity again. Labour said they weren't going to do austerity again. And he's just every other day on Twitter, he's just saying, what are you doing?
But Brexit was meant to fix all of this, wasn't it? We're meant to be living in the sunlit uplands, loads of money, golden streets, everyone living in Lollipop Hills and Gumdrop Lane.
If you listen to the goons who call into LBC, our EU contribution, you know, helped, you know, lower that 22 billion black hole. So, you know, if we were in the EU, the black hole would be much higher. So it depends which idiots you ask, I guess. But like, honestly, our economy, like I said it a couple of years ago, where the success of the British economy is capped because we can't export that much. So even if you increase manufacturing in this country, like Jaguar Land Rover or whoever else, which other company you want to insert, them exporting into the EU would be incredibly difficult because of the trade barriers. Because of, even though there aren't many tariffs, depending on what you're exporting, it's the customs. It's all the paperwork. We offered massive subsidies to, I think it was Jaguar Land Rover, I think it was the last year, right? Spain offered nothing. Spain literally offered nothing. And it was a competition between us and Spain.
Yeah, we had to bribe someone.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. We offered hundreds of millions of pounds. And Spain said, we have lower energy costs than them. We're bribing people to... Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So the UK has a lot of structural problems. And I think Brexit has made everything fundamentally much worse. You know, I think there are a lot of smarter kind of central European countries that realize like they can make money from manufacturing. The fact that Spain manufactures so many EVs, I didn't see that coming. I didn't even know that. No, I didn't even know that, because, you know, with Spain, I associate, you know, holidays and stuff. Maybe that's just me being dumb. Probably is. But I associate Germany with manufacturing, not Spain, whereas Spain quietly has become a massive manufacturer of EVs, of electric vehicles. It might be because they have more energy security as well, so they weren't as impacted by the big energy shocks we've seen recently. But Spain are in a very good position to keep manufacturing cars. And do you know what? They want to keep the UK as an export market, so they don't want the UK to succeed. All of these countries, I said it, a good few years ago. We're competitors now. We are competing with the EU, and they know that, and they're vicious. They're sharks, because the EU is the one thing Mog was right about. The EU is a protectionist racket, and what you've done is you've taken yourself out of that protection. How's that going? So Brexit won't. It's made everything worse. Really, who are we going to sell to? Like, we make luxury products mostly. I mean, who are you going to sell cheese to? Far East Asia. They have massive problems with lactose. Are you going to sell it to the Indian subcontinent? They don't buy that stuff.
Well,
You
the
know what I
one
mean?
country that did buy our cheese, they can't any longer because we had a spat over hormone beef with Canada. So we've lost all of our quotas for cheese to Canada. So yeah, it's bad.
And that deal was up for negotiation as well. I think the CETA deal, because we're out, we have to renegotiate that deal. And I'll tell you what, those Canadian farms are real mad about the deal that you got. I think they'll come back and say, look, you are not offering anything as good as those terms ever again. Not
The
not to the
whole
UK.
hormone fed meat thing is absolutely there and the next problem looming. Without a doubt, Canada will not let that go with us going into CPTPP, the comprehensive, oh God, what is it again?
Pacific Trade
CPTPP,
Agreement.
Pacific Trade Partnership. Yes, I
Yeah.
never remember
It's
what it
too many
stands
letters.
for. Yeah. But once I think today we signed a trade deal with Thailand. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And of course now, and so you can celebrate. And Malaysia actually agreed that we can accede to CPTPP, which opens up the door to Malaysia exporting palm oil to us. But what's Malaysia going to buy off Britain? I don't know. Maybe some
Sarcasm.
services. Sarcasm,
But
yes.
they don't, the thing is, like,
Invaluable.
yeah, invaluable, yeah, true, especially in dark times like these. But no, I don't see the UK recovering from this. I really don't want to join the CPTPP. They have all sorts of dodgy courts and stuff like that. You can get done if you cost a company their profits. It's awful. There's a reason why Trump ran against it, because he knew how stupid this thing was. Even he
Because
could see it.
it loses sovereignty. That's why
Yeah.
Trump pulled out of it. And here they are, the Brexiteers going, yeah, we're going into CPTPP. It's like, it's a
No vote.
complete loss of control going into
Yeah.
CPTPP.
It's.
And Starmer's doing the same, but Starmer's saying he wants a veterinary agreement with the EU. I cannot see how you can get a veterinary agreement and do CPPP, CDPPP. You can't do both. It's impossible because CPTPP is harmonisation of regulations and it will pull us towards more deregulation.
I
And
think that's the
that's
point, isn't it? That is
yes.
the actual point. It's Singapore and Thames is
So
a slang term for
Starmer was either
deregulation.
lying to the Brexiteers or to the Remainers. And it's at the moment, it looks like the way the direction of travel is, we're still heading towards, the madness of the Pacific deal, which means there's no chance, there's no hope of undoing Brexit. Yeah.
This is the CPTPP is has a set of rules that govern it, which is drawn up by a board, which each country gets a representative on, and then they vote stuff through. And it's meant to have unanimous, but if it cannot get it through, it can then revert to a second round of votes, I think 75%. So it
Yeah.
can start passing anything it wants. There is a decent caveat to that, which is you can leave just by saying we're leaving, and you then have 6 months. So if it is particularly bad, not to
And
say it'll do our economy any
maybe
good.
that's what they know. Maybe Starmer knows that they're going to try and make Brexit work. And then perhaps when CPTPP ends up pulling us towards the discomfort of hormone-fed meat, that gives them the excuse to say, oh, sorry, this fails. But at the moment, they say they want to sign a deal with India as well. I mean, India trade deal for farming is absolutely dreadful for our standards, for everything. It's cataclysmic.
They're
So.
known to be hard trade negotiators.
Yeah.
They'd rather take it. They'd rather leave it than take it if it's not in their favor. They're known
Yeah.
for that. Yeah, but we've had trade negotiators tell us that on the show. So you're like, that's not necessarily going to be to our advantage. They've got 1 billion people. They've also, it seems to be a contentious issue that they want to have visa rights as part of the trade negotiation, which all the Brexiteers have gone nuts over.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the part I'm in favor of, but I'm very welcoming of immigration, but I understand we need it. I mean, it's a serious problem.
Well, I've
So,
been saying for almost a year now, low birth rate. I reckon we're going to have another 500,000 people leave this year. I reckon it'll be that's extraordinary. Ireland was losing, and the UK were losing, I think, 50,000 a year in the 70s. That was called a brain drain. This is brain drain on steroids. It's really shocking. And then the birth rate. So, I mean, part of the reason, and we'll segue a bit into this, with the sick man of Europe, I was listening to a show this morning, and they were talking about the health issues that 1 in 10 Brits are now on. I think 1 in 10 Brits are on welfare, and a large chunk of that is down to sickness. And they had a Labour representative, and then they had Kwasi Kwarteng. How does that man get on TV? Can anyone explain that to me?
Well, he's
He
quite
crashed the
handsome.
economy and got
I
sacked,
know
and he's
he's handsome.
still
He's got a nice voice.
does he? I mean,
Yeah.
have to say, it's not dulcet tones I hear
I
coming out
know.
of him.
I mean, it is extraordinary, but I think from a sort of aesthetic point of view, he looks nice and his voice sounds nice. But yeah, then when you remember what he did and when he was giggling in the Queen's funeral about crashing the economy, it doesn't make you feel like smashing the television at that point. Yeah, I mean, look, this whole thing of scapegoating people for being sick. And in fact, I nearly had a row with my husband about this today because he reads the Times. He used to read the Telegraph, and I said, right, that's it, he's out. So now it's the Times. I said, okay, you can read the Times. And there's he said, oh, do you realize how many people are on the sick and they're not working? And I said, David, you know, how many, because I've had a bit of a health problem recently, I have real difficulties getting a doctor's appointment and getting treatment and everything else. I said, you know, no wonder people are sick because you can't get any treatment. It's really hard. I mean, even my GP asked me and said, you know, do you want to go private so that you can actually get some treatment?
You're
So
joking.
you've got that problem going on. But not only that, the whole benefit system in this country is the worst in all of the Western countries. It isn't really job seekers' allowance. It is actually they terrorize people who try and get support for being out of work. So a lot of people are deciding not to take benefits for whatever reason. And it means they're opting out of society, which is why we've got so many homeless people. And this is just horrendous. It's horrific. And we don't have a lot of people have mental health problems, but we don't have any help for people with mental health problems.
You get 6 months to potentially solve an issue, and you might be waiting 1 year to 2 years to get the 6 months. After the 6 months, you've then got to reapply, which might be 1 year to 2 years to get 6 months. Which, if you've got something like PTSD, 6 months, it's a forever issue for the majority.
I know I've got it. And I had to pay for treatment for it. There isn't really, even going back before this, 14 years of Tory hell, there wasn't great support for mental health. There never has been in this country because in Britain we think that therapy is an American reality and that we don't really need it because we're hysterical and tough Brits.
Pull your socks up, right? Do you ever hear
Yeah.
that? Did you hear
Yes.
that, Madge? Did you ever
Yeah, I've
hear
heard that.
that?
Yeah.
Pull your socks up. Get on with it. Well, it's that Blitz spirit, isn't it? That's where you get the
Ah.
expression. That's why a lot of people in Britain say, when you ask them, how are you doing? Not bad. Because you couldn't go around during World War II and say, yeah, I'm having a great day. And you've got all this devastation. I shouldn't laugh. But that's the principle behind it. Not bad. And yeah, there is something about that Blitz spirit,
But
get on with
Cameron
it.
used to bang on about wanting to bring back the bloody Blitz spirit all of the time with his big society. And it actually, that then I used to scream, just say, why would you want to have that back again? For goodness sake, you complete tosspot. Why would you want to go back to that?
It's
Yeah.
absolutely mad, isn't it? Well,
Well,
they
you see
said
what you
that.
need, a bit of hardship in your life. So what have they bloody done that
You
for?
might as well go with the analogy. Why don't we just get hairdressers to pull our teeth out? Why are we spending all this money on dentists? Just pull, don't. Why are you getting Novocaine? Didn't have Novocaine in the old days to knock you out. Do they use Novocaine anymore? No, they don't knock you out anymore, do they? It's just a you look like you've had it,
Let's be
Madge.
honest, living in Britain, no wonder so many are leaving because it is sadism central. There is a large amount within the British society of wanting to deliver sadism on people. That is what's going on.
But
And
again,
it's really hard.
it comes back to that deregulation. I think it comes to something, it's like a neo-social Darwinism, survival of
Yeah.
the fittest, but it's reflected through capitalism.
Yes.
And yet they don't understand that a large chunk of it's luck. You don't know who your parents are. You don't choose to have a rich or poor parent, or a parent with psychological issues,
It definitely goes
or
back to the
having.
whole feudal system that we had before the repeal of the Corn Laws, my favourite subject. And everything that was within the well, which is really around oligarchy, isn't it? In the modern
Yes.
form, that is what we're heading. That's what we've headed into. But given that we've got I mean, that's the other thing that actually infuriates me. Is that going through all of this hardship since the Tories have been in power, the royal family, the king that is now the queen before, has never been in receipt of such a lot of money. It's actually sickening that the crown estate is raking in an absolute fortune, and our king is wealthier than ever because of that, as his subjects are literally going to have to start eating cats and dogs.
We're going to segue onto that later. I want to. I mean, did you see the thing in The Sun, which was about what's the name of the William's eldest?
Of what?
William. What's William's eldest son called?
Oh, God. George. George.
There was an article in The Sun talking about him having flying lessons and how proud they were about it. And you're
I'm not a royalist in any way. So I'm not a celebrity slave, and I'm not of anything. So I don't understand it. I don't understand why people think it's, oh, isn't that nice? You know, as people are not able to afford to eat and heat their homes. I just think it's extraordinary. But maybe it's escapism, perhaps. I don't know.
I think there's better ways of doing it. There's much better stuff to watch on TV than read about George being able to, like, learning to fly. I guess there's a couple of other things to link in with that and the sick man of Europe. I'm a big proponent on the show about talking about the menopause and perimenopause, which affects, I think it affects 75% of women. And out of that 75% of women that are affected by the perimenopause, 25% are incapacitated. And part of the problem that we had with Brexit was the fact that we lost hormone replacement therapy medicines, which have not been replaced. Like, we need four labs, we've got two. And this is one of these, like, absolutely astounding and amazing things about Brexit that no one talks about, and also getting the workforce back up and running, is where are those medicines? What are they doing about it? Are they building those labs? Labour have said nothing, and yet 25% of 75% of women are incapacitated. And in part, not always, but in part, that's down to the lack of medicine and support. But and not a single word. And on that show this morning, didn't mention that. They didn't also mention anything to do with social media. They didn't mention anything about the weather, which we know we don't get enough vitamin D for. That's a scientific fact. There's not enough sunshine in this country. But within all of that, I think there's a bigger issue with this being the sick man of Europe and psychological support or lack of. I think there was a stat, and I need to double check this, if it was in the West or just America or the West, or America and the UK. I think 30% of men don't want a relationship under 25. And on top of that, they don't even want sex.
Really?
Work that one out. And again, that has not been talked about. Now, we can talk about why is Europe recovering quicker? Well, if you've got a housing crisis, if you've got a rental crisis, if you can't get an appointment, if you can't get psychological help, and I bring in the rental and housing crisis because it takes so much money out of your bank account, you can't then go off and get private insurance to get you a psychological support. I'm going, this is just a huge cycle. And this is why I'm saying I don't see how he can fix this. Other than you've got to yank in a load of money, but you've also got to have, it's going to take 10 years to 15 to be able to fix this, because you've got to stop those people leaving in order to balance out the economy. And you can't do that if people think that they've got nowhere to live, they can't get a house, the rent's so high. I think the average is 9 years to save up for a mortgage outside of London. And housing prices in the last 3 years have gone up 30% outside of London. I think it's 40 inside of London. This is nuts. This is why I thought, actually, this topic's pretty damn important when you throw all those stats out and you look at the bigger picture. But going back to it, why isn't Starmer doing anything or addressing anything about this?
He's too busy to take all his freebies.
Yeah, he's got to watch Arsenal. Arsenal doing all right, so. I think if you go one by one, with the housing stuff, they said there's not going to be any money for social housing, but they are going to reduce planning permission for it and things like that. So they're going to make it easier to build, you know, houses. The main problem is stopping, landlords and buy-to-let landlords and whatever get those houses. You need to get it to first-time buyers. That's something they need to ensure. I think they did have some proposals for it, but I'm not sure on that.
So part of the... I'll just throw a stat at you, Maj, for you to respond to. 140,000 landlords came out of the market because of the legislation brought in by the Conservatives. So you would have hoped that that would have sorted out the rental market and brought in first-time buyers, but all it seems to have done is jacked up rent because there's a smaller supply. Any thoughts on that?
You've got to build more houses. You've got to increase the amount of supply. That's the main issue that they've got. Increasing the amount of social housing would help as well. Like, councils to have housing would help, but they're not going to do that. They're not going to increase the funding for, social housing. That's a big problem. I think in Manchester, Andy Burnham's talking about ending buy to let for certain property, not buy to let, sorry, right to buy as well. So then those houses can stay as kind of social assets, which I think is fine. But I think with the housing crisis, building more houses and just making sure like it can't be bought up by asset management companies. Some countries have a foreigners tax where if you try and buy a property and you live abroad, you have to pay 100% tax. I think that would be good because a lot of these properties, they're empty and they're just assets for people.
London grad.
Yeah, London grad, yeah. And then stuff like that. I think with the housing, I think it'll take time. There's also a lack of expertise, like trade schools and stuff. We don't have access to kind of the not trade in terms of trades people, I guess, to help build the houses. That's a big problem as well, because you do need a lot of expertise to build a house. You're talking three, electricians, plumbers, and builders. But they are bit they need to make it a lot easier, I guess, to build houses. But it's got to be sustainable housing. It can't be just luxury houses. It's got to be practical. I'm not talking Khrushchev's housing block, but I'm saying like it's got to be practical housing for people in order so you can just buy a house. You don't have to be on the rental market forever, effectively. So that one's doable probably within about 5 years, 5 to 10, depending on how things go. But lowering the house price as well, like the prices need to come down for deposits and things like that. It's one of the big problems. But that's probably the only one that's doable. Disposable income is a big problem, like you mentioned earlier, because your rent can be half your income and you have no money left to do anything. And what you need, especially in capitalist countries such as Britain, like you need people to have disposable income so they can go out and buy stuff they don't necessarily need or do experiences and things like that. That'll improve people's mental health, but also it pushes money into the economy as well. Like if people have more time to do things like that, it does help. It does push money around the economy. The problem is people just don't have a lot of disposable income because everything's going up.
Would you, I'll throw a game to both of you. How much money do you think 30% of the population, the lowest in savings, is?
I wouldn't have a clue.
It's less
So
than like
go on
500 pounds or
30%.
something. Is that less than £500 or something like that?
It's less than £500.
Yeah,
Really? Keep going.
it's like 201.
250 quid,
Yeah,
30% of 250 quid,
doesn't surprise me.
or
Yeah,
nothing in savings. That's shocking. That's a terrible economy.
yeah.
That in itself, if you have a crash and they need to live off those savings, there is nothing to live off.
There are lots of people in energy debt as well. I think that's in the that's a tremendous amount of people who just can't pay energy bills. They're getting taken to court and things like that to pay them. So there are huge problems in this country that people just haven't acknowledged. Like household debt's very high.
Well, and the worst creditors are the councils, aren't they, for the council tax? I mean, it's
Bankrupt.
just, they're so aggressive. I mean, that really is the first thing I would change. One of
Did
the
you
things.
oh,
Did you
that
see
dude
Martin
Martin Lewis
Lewis
was talking about.
talk?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Yeah, that's
Nash.
what's gonna be. No, I was gonna mention him. Sorry, he did mention it. Things about if you're in council, is they can get bailiffs in within 6 weeks or something like that.
They
Whereas if
can
you're a
threaten.
business, it can take months. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is an elected body allowed that level of power? Why would they have that? Why would they have more power than the business when you've elected them? They're meant to rep you, not attack
Yeah,
you.
it's terrible. We, I mean, down here in Chippenham Council, it was the Lib Dem councillors actually voted against having a warm room for the elderly. I just find that unbearable.
Why on earth would they vote? Why would they do that?
Well, I don't know. As I said, it does make you sort of, I've kind of, you sort of get to the stage of thinking, well, what are these councillors actually doing? They've got so much power in some ways with some remits over people's lives. And so, yeah, it's just incredibly for us in the countryside, especially the rural poverty is really, really bad. People assume that it's a wealthy part of the country, but we have got endemic poverty, particularly with the elderly population. And then to think that you've got a council saying we're not going to pay for a warm room for people to come into. I mean, it's just terrible. It's unconscionable. So yeah, I don't, and you can't think how that can happen when, the Lib Dems are all about supposedly about caring for carers, that how can they as a party allow that to happen at a regional level? So, I
I
mean,
don't get it.
everything is broken, isn't it? So it is incredibly broken.
I mean, what are your thoughts on the mental health side of stuff, the perimenopause, the menopause, the issues that I brought up with regard to 30% of men not wanting relationship?
Well, you can't blame them because it's life is hard, isn't it? And it's stressful. And also, how do you? And we've got a young lad who works there on the farm. How do you meet people? And when you're busy and you've got so much stress in your life, and
Two
what kind of,
jobs.
if you don't have spare cash to go and date somebody, how do you do that? So that it's, I suppose it's not really a surprise. Plus, the thoughts of settling down and having a family now are not what they used to be when I was growing up. That's how you were encouraged to get married and think about having a family. Those You're now thinking, well, how can I afford to have a family? Because both parents need to work, and if you don't earn enough money between the pair of you to pay for the home and the childcare, and I think it's very, very difficult.
Most
So,
expensive childcare in Europe as well,
and
even with
yes,
new
most
legislation.
expensive now. So it's and it's been hard for some time, and it's just nobody solved any of the really difficult problems that we've got. In fact, everything that they've done, it seems they've made all of those problems worse. Everything. I can't think of anything being improved in the last decade or so.
Austerity has really killed this country. Like, I was speaking to someone who was Irish. And their situation after the financial crash was a lot worse than ours. And when I explained to them like how much deeper the cuts were in the UK, they just couldn't believe it. They just said, "How come it's so much worse?" I'm like, "The Conservative Party and their austerity didn't last as long as ours, and they came out of it and teachers gradually got more pay rises, whereas in the UK we had consistently below inflation pay rises, for really until the Reeves budget, I think, where it's above inflation only if you count it within a certain period." But it's still better than what we had. And I'm no fan of Rachel Reeves, not at all. But point being is like the economy is cooked for that reason, because austerity essentially took all the money out. And all of these services have been complete decimated. The childcare stuff the Tories wanted to do is completely untenable because there's no funding in it. You had these nurseries and stuff saying, "Look, we can't do this. It's impossible." And they're telling the Labour Party the same thing. We don't have the staff or the money to do this, to offer these hours. And that's what I mean. Like, they can talk big, all these plans. They talk about millions invested here and there, but it's just not enough, evidently. We
But
have so many problems here.
delivering more austerity with the winter fuel benefit, removing that, is not going to help the economy. Whether somebody can afford to pay for their heating or not is irrespective, because a lot of pensioners that got that either went out and spent it probably, or a lot of them donated it to food banks and so forth. So removing it from that, I mean, politically, it's toxic for the Labour Party. They promise change. I mean, this isn't change. This is more of the same. It's more
Well,
austerity, more damage for the economy, more damage for politics and political trust. I think it's the stupidest thing that they could have done to come in and do this, to promise, make good promises, and then immediately deliver the opposite of what they promised, which is just more of the same, more of the Grinch.
in defense of the Labour Party, right? They did promise change, and
Sorry, who are you?
pensioners, hold
Who are
up. Okay,
you?
let me cook,
You're
man.
defending the
Okay, let
Labour
me cook.
Party.
Let me cook. Okay. In defense of the Labour Party, right? They said there would be change. Pensioners generally have been protected by the Conservative Party because they vote for the Conservatives. Now it's pensioners suffering. So that is a change.
Well, I believe in universalism. I don't believe in robbing Peter to pay Paul. The whole point of universalism is that it works because it just keeps the economy flowing. And it means that when somebody's out of work, they get a benefit, and it's not as if the money disappears. It goes back into the only time the money disappears when it goes to people like Michelle Mohn for a bloody yacht, but it doesn't disappear. Giving people money and a good income on benefits because they can't find work or because they've got mental health problems, whatever, it isn't a waste of money. It keeps the economy going. It keeps people in jobs. It keeps things fluid. And that's where, the austerity, that's the ideology behind that, the Tory ideology is oligarchy and removal and the breaking down of universalism. And that I think it's a very frightening reality to remove that put us back into some form of semi-feudalism and no democracy and a you know, real rolling back of rights, which is why they want to come out of the ECHR.
Do you not think, well, yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? It's like, there might be a few issues with the ECHR, there might be a few issues with the EU, but they just go, right, cut it all out, goodbye. But then you go, well, there's a paedophile inside the royal family. You're going to get rid of that? No, 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 got to protect that. That's fine. That's fantastic.
We need the exceptionalism there, yeah. We need the flexibility.
But yeah, with austerity, like, he did it to shrink the state, and that's ultimately what they got. And so that's what happened there with the winter fuel payment. Like, I think them getting rid of it was stupid. If they wanted to means test it, they just should have set the tests way higher, because ultimately older people need to heat their homes, because otherwise they end up in the hospital.
And
ambulance calls
are
like £250. So
they just could have taxed it. I mean, that's what they said. That's what they've done with the child benefit. They just tax people over a certain level. They could have done it through the tax system.
They said they weren't going to increase taxes. So
I think it's just a Grinch move. And yet when Starmer's taking these, you know, little gifts and stuff, is it because, you know, that billionaire, what's he called, the one who's in with football, what's he called?
Radcliffe, Manchester United. Radcliffe
is a rampant Brexiteer, and, you know, he's suddenly behind Starmer. So I'm asking, and in fact, I did on Times Radio, the ex CEO of Marks and Spencer's, so Stuart Rose, he alluded to the concerns about Jim Ratcliffe's support of Starmer. And now to King, because he's a Brexiteer. And Ratcliffe drives me mad because he always says, yes, well, we need Brexit because we're overpopulated. And I'm going, what the heck does that mean? And now you're looking at this and going, yes, we are in many ways. We've got population problems because we've got a very large elderly aging population who didn't have enough children. So it's a mushroom population. That is, it's not because we're overpopulated. It's because we've got a very unbalanced population. The working age is not large enough.
But also the working migrants that come in, I've had to point this out. It's been quite interesting when you throw it at people who are like anti-immigration saying it's overpopulated, because they can't comprehend this. You go, if you have a child, arguably for the first 18 years, the majority of those kids will contribute nothing. Yeah. But if you're a working migrant, you come in, and by the looks of it, the ones that come in earn more than the average Brit, bringing more with no cost because you haven't had to feed them for eight and clothe them and educate them for 18 years. And when you throw that, there's a real discombobulation. They can't, they're like, that's fried their brain.
Yeah, because they're racist.
Fascinating to see.
Because they're racist, that's why. They'll hide behind, like, economics of it. That's what happened with Brexit. They're like, oh, you know, they're taking our houses and whatever, and then you explain to them, or they have a big impact on wages. It was less than 1%. And then they just turn out to, I just take foreign people. That's what
was said to me last week by somebody, that they believe in the great replacement conspiracy theory.
The great replacement theory is a controversial idea that claims powerful groups are deliberately replacing native populations in certain countries with immigrants. This theory suggests this is meant to weaken the cultural, social, or political identity of the original inhabitants. However, it's widely criticised for promoting xenophobia and racism.
Especially out here in the countryside, the connection is via these channels, Facebook and WhatsApp, and they push these, and it happened with Brexit all the way through, they push these memes through these channels, and then people embed their views in it. I was astonished, because I was completely disconnected from all of these things until the Brexit referendum, and then, you know, my Facebook up until Brexit only had about, you know, I don't know, my close friends and family. I didn't have any social media footprint at all until Brexit.
So. Oh, wow. I wasn't doing this. I had no interest until Brexit in politics, other than to teach it, which sounds crazy, like you're abreast of it, but I wasn't really, you know, that engaged or being proactive. It was Brexit that re-engaged me took me to another level of interest within this. Were you the same, Madge?
Yeah, kind of. I think it was, I've been interested since I was like quite young, like 16. So like when I saw The Revolution Should Be Televised on the BBC, that was a really good show. That's the show I think that really got me interested in it. I think Brexit helped a bit, but I think it was mostly the Conservatives, I think, that got me interested in it, because I'm like, are we really voting for these guys again?
Are we gonna go there? And yet we did. I'm gonna throw this out. I don't understand why the government haven't come out, and we talked about housing. Why are they not talking about 3D printing? Why is that not being brought up when we know that reduces workload? And then the other thing that that I find just disparaging and shocking and probably a level of sexism. Why is HRT not being brought up? Why is that? Like, if 25% of women are out of the workforce, like, I know it's 25% of 75% of 50% of the population. I'm going, why is that not being brought up? Why is no one talking about that? Why is that? Is it, I mean, are we that prudish? Is it something to do with the fact that it's to do with women and people
Well,
don't want to talk about it? It boggles my mind.
it's ageism as well, and it is one of those things that's difficult for people to want to talk about, I think, for women in particular. That
In relation to
you,
age.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
to be
you
fair,
don't, you know, I think it's hard as you go through life, and when you face the menopause and having to go through it and then talk about it is quite. You know, because it's a double whammy. But I mean, it's not as if you want to talk about when you start your periods either. It's not an easy thing to for women to deal with and to agonize over. But I think women in closed circles together do. And that's where you need your, and some people are more comfortable about it than others. I mean, I'm chopsy, so I don't mind being confronted with difficult subjects, but I know a lot of women are find that quite uncomfortable. So
but that doesn't
you know.
excuse the government for not addressing this as an issue. And it seems like with that's a significant number of the population that are incapacitated that could be helped,
Well,
and
I
they're
mean,
not.
it is in the press at the moment, and it was in the Times today, and there was something in the business pages yesterday. So they are talking about it. You know, I have
Okay,
noticed there
that's
is a
interesting.
slight change in dialogue on these things. And it is early days in terms of, in fairness to the Labour government, it is early days. They won the election in, was it July? And then it was holidays. 2 weeks, and now they're straight into bloody conference season. So there's very little time for them to have changed that much. Plus, Farage's riots cause all sorts of problems. And I suppose because the election was sprung on them a bit, they didn't quite have all of their ducks in the row to know what they were doing. But they did manage to do this stupid winter fuel thing, which is actually. You know, it just enraged everybody, which then takes away everyone's energy from the core subjects, which are important. But you know, there was something on about pharmacies because there's such a shortage of drugs universally, and because they're not paying enough money to pharmacists, pharmacies are now cutting down their hours.
They're threatening to go on a work to rule strike.
Yeah.
They've never done that before.
So you have to think, well, where is the motivation at the heart of the British government and the civil service to ensure that the public are looked after at a very basic level? I mean, it just isn't there.
I think so. As I said, I think it's neo-social Darwinism. Survival of the fittest, you survive if you're good at capitalism. And I think that is literally it. And it's not that controversial. Dominic Raab is on camera saying, I don't believe in economic rights and social rights. He's
Very
openly said it.
famous
He was
quote.
part of that cabinet. He was a core member. He was deputy prime minister. He was foreign minister. And
He was a
yet.
member of that Facebook group to bring back workhouses. I think we're pretty and debtors' prisons.
Do you reckon they read like Scrooge or Oliver Twist and thought, cool, I quite like
It was like,
the
this man's
bad
the villain.
guys?
He's the
Yeah.
villain, really?
He's the villain. Sounds great to
He was doing
me.
so good until he changed. But yeah, in this country you can't even get like they barely talk about routine operations, so like
I
forget
think
the other stuff.
the psychological abuse is passed down through generations, and I think a lot of them have had it passed down to them. And I found out doing my family tree that my great-great-grandfather, who was a refugee, as he would have been called now, from a German Jewish refugee, and he died in the workhouse. But it wasn't, they called it a workhouse, but really it wasn't. It was really just a place where you went to die. And it's just so heartbreaking that we almost are back there, I think. We seem to be getting back there. And
Close.
it's just so depressing.
Well, that's what Osborne did. He talked about shirkers and strivers. He talked about your neighbour closing their curtains in the morning, which honestly, his analogy makes no sense the more I think about it, because you close your curtains at night for a start. But essentially, he was
Unless
saying
you're a
like,
vampire.
yeah, that's true. Maybe his neighbour. No, he would be the vampire because he's pale as hell. But ultimately, like that's the thing that they did the best. They pit, kind of working class people against each other. And so that's how Osborne kind of succeeded, because he kept that, especially when you had like Benefits Britain or whatever that TV show was called on Channel 4, and all of that kind of pro-austerity mantra of like just demonizing unemployed people and things like that. Like, that's one of the reasons we're in the mess now. Like, really, the conversation around sicknesses, like Labour have kind of pushed that a little bit, talking about, okay, we need to get, people off sick leave and back into work. The way they phrase it is stupid.
But
Like,
they're still
it makes
saying
sense.
that. There's a Labour representative that came out on TV today still saying that. Oh,
Yeah,
we've got to give him tough love.
and Starmer's saying over and over again that he's only there for working people, and that actually jolly well infuriates me as well. You can't have a prime minister who thinks that he's only there for one small part of society. It's just abominable. I mean, so he's not there for children. Children don't work, or is he planning to send them up chimneys again?
That's what I mean. Like, that the these two are very similar to kind of George Osborne and Cameron in that respect. Like, they have split people. They have split working people, public sector pay people, public sector people basically against older people, by saying, well, older people, you have to take a hit here because we have to pay public sector workers and you ultimately benefit from the doctors and stuff like that, even though it wasn't either or. They could have done both, but they set up these stupid fiscal rules. And they set up all of this stupid dialogue of maxing out credit cards and the country's broken, all of this stuff. And now there's not much they can do. But ultimately, the more of these older people that go to hospital or ultimately die, that has a cost. There's an economic cost and a societal cost there. People will lose relatives far earlier than they have to.
I think it would be kinder if they just brought in euthanasia and said, okay, we're just going to kill everyone at the age of 70. Than doing this to people. I think at least then psychologically you could prepare for it. They're okay, my time is up. But rather than
Well,
thinking, well, am I going to survive? How long can I keep going?
have you seen the Isle of Man is bringing that in 27? And have you seen that Canada's brought that in? 13,500 people last year
Meant.
went through it,
Was it
through
assisted
the
suicide or?
euthanasia. Assisted suicide or euthanasia. It's euthanasia, isn't it?
Well, it depends. To be fair, it is dark to pair a story talking about how Labour are going to fast track or consider assisted suicide and also talk about them taking winter fuel payments. I thought that was a very wrong time to put the two stories together, really. I would not
Their
be
comms
announcing
are
one.
awful. I'm
I
sorry,
mean,
their comms are awful.
people keep blaming the comms team, but ultimately, who hired the comms team? They're doing the job that Labour want them to do, which is garbage. But this is what they want. I've been saying this for like three,
I don't
4 years. I'm
know.
like,
I've worked in
what are these mans
comms.
doing?
I don't know. I've worked in comms, and I get some say in what and where the direction goes because I know what I'm talking about. But then maybe some of the guys that are listening to Starmer don't have the courage. They don't have the courage to be able to turn around and say, no, this is wrong. This is what you should be doing. They're not actually going on their expertise. It was a bit like when the people who Rishi Sunak hired, they kept trying to make him look cool. And you're like, no, you're not cool. Like, it doesn't matter what suit you're wearing and how you wear it, you're not a cool person. What I would have gone with and would have been more logical for him would have been family. That would have been the way forward because that's something that a lot of people, the majority of people, can associate with. So you're going, why did you go on that route that isn't going to work and force it down people's throats that no one's going to buy?
He should have gone down the nerd angle. He should. Well, actually, that's not the case. The Ben Shapiro voice. But no, honestly, like, I think their comms team, I've been saying it for about 3, 4 years, or 3 years at least, I think their comms team is a disaster. And I feel like they never sorted that out. So when the MPs go up, they don't know what to say because the era of that kind of Alistair Campbell is done. Like, they don't have a Campbell, and that's their big problem. And they're trying to spin stuff by saying, well, really, the Prime Minister should be lauded here because he was honest. He was extra scrupulous. He went back to the parliamentary officer, whoever it was, to ask, is this okay? And it's like, my G, do you not see how bad the optics are alone, or the fact that you've got dude not just dressing you and buying you glasses, but your wife as well? And like, apparently he's doing it for the whole party. Anyone who needs a suit or clothing can go to this guy. And I'm like, bro, you're on over 100K a year, and you can't go to Moss Bros and buy a suit and get a tailor. Like, really?
I think we're both in agreement that he should be on a higher wage to be able to afford that. I definitely think he should have I mean, the
I mean,
American president does. And
do your
there's
job
also, it
properly.
seems to be more regulation in the US. Because remember, I think Putin gave Trump a football, and actually, he's not allowed to keep it because he gave it to his son. And he's not allowed to keep the football. It's got to go into, I think it's a museum or a storage area. And then it's got to go through other rigmarole before either it's released to the president or it's put into a museum of some sort. You can't accept gifts. Whereas here it's like, but I mean, that's traditional capitalism, isn't it? Don't we all like get these deals by like, taking the set the person that you want to sell for a coffee to a football match. I'll never
Well, no,
forget
but
Roy
not
Keane's
in, not
call.
in, it shouldn't happen in politics. You know, this is crocker-wodger stuff because you're up for sale, and that's why we should pay politicians more. You get better people wanting to be a politician for one if you paid more. But and I thought he said he was going to do this. You get rid of the second jobs and you pay them enough money so that they actually do a proper job. Look, the Prime Minister has to sit with some of the wealthiest people in the world, and you can't have him there. You know, in a cheap suit. He does need to have decent clothes, but he needs to have a decent salary so he can afford his own suit.
The thing is,
And the thing
he's
about
got
budget
enough.
too.
He's got enough to be able to afford that. Like, he's on a lot of money here. Like, he's in the
Doesn't
top
pay
1% of
rent.
earners. He doesn't pay
Not
rent. Lives.
Matt,
He can afford
not
it.
compared to the city slickers who are making millions
Yeah,
of
but
pounds.
like, honestly, yeah. Like, I've seen people who don't buy the most expensive clothing. You can, if you have a good tailor and you actually look after yourself, you can make it look decent.
I
But
know,
like, he doesn't have to.
but why does he need to scrimp and save? He's got the
It's
top
not
job
about
in the
scrimping.
country.
It's not about scrimping.
I
Like,
think it
he's on
is
good
because
money.
I think
He's
you've
on good money.
got, if we've got chief executives on 2, 3 million a year in this
Yeah.
country, why have we got a prime minister on this low wage? Even the chief executives of local councils are on 250 a year. It's a
Really?
joke. Yeah.
Doing
Okay, that's a bit
250.
ridiculous.
200 is fine. But the thing is, like, if you're a CEO of a company and you don't deliver, they'll vote you out within a year. They'll get rid of you. Your pay is potentially is linked to the growth of the company. If we want to link it to growth of the country, I'm fine with that because we're at zero right now. So you should not get a salary increase. You can take your big fat zero. You keep your big fat zero.
incentives is
Oh, your
probably
zero
good.
point. You can take your 0.06% growth as well,
But
or whatever we
I
got this
think
year.
taking bribes as it look as what it looks like, whether you know Ali's donations are just to help them out is another matter. I think it's just more scandal that we don't need. Pay them a decent wage so that you actually attract decent people into the job as well. And that is much better rather than relying on someone already being wealthy like Rees-Mogg who can afford to, you know, go out and do it as a hobby, because
Yeah.
ultimately that's what it is. And that's what I would do if I was prime minister with a huge majority like he is. That's exactly what, and I think that's what I'm annoyed at, in that he's got a lot of rope here and he's just not using it. So I would like to have 10 minutes with Keir Starmer so I could rant at him. And have you
I'd
seen his
like to see that.
ratings? They have gone down like this. I mean, so I mean, it's very rapid. I think to be, I said in one of my videos last week, I think it's such a bad political message, this winter fuel thing. And now with these donations, I think they're going to have to do what the Tories did and do you know, a handing of the baton on to somebody else, bring in Andy Burnham or another leader before the next
Sadiq
election, because
Khan.
Starmer's got no political capital left.
They're changing the leadership, the challenge rules anyways, potentially. So then that's not going to happen. But with the salary thing, like, I think they can't increase it now because the economy's cooked. There's no way you can justify a salary increase now. Absolutely no way. If you get things going, then maybe. But I think that would destroy them if suddenly they're giving, a 15 grand pay rise or whatever. They had consistently above inflation pay rises anyways. They're the only group, I think, in the public sector that have got it.
Isn't it funny that we're all having this big discussion about 100K? Yeah, you mentioned earlier that Charles has just been bumped up several million. And you're a bit like, right, we'll just nationalize that, take it over, and then have the use the cash for them from what from, I think it's from the wind turbines off the coast, isn't it, that he's got his money? That's a huge chunk of it.
Incredible.
I think there's also got he gets
Hundreds of
money from
millions a year.
inheritance. Go on.
Hundreds of millions a year. He didn't pay any tax on his inheritance, yes.
Look, I've been saying it for ages. Just turn Buckingham Palace into a museum, and you'll make loads of money. Imagine all the people who'd get. People go to Blenheim Palace in Germany, which is out of Berlin. It's just out on the, I think, just on the outside of Berlin, right? I've been there.
Yeah.
It's really nice. You do that at Buckingham
Sorry,
Palace,
where? Where?
loads of
Say
money.
that again. Which
It's
one?
Blenheim Palace, isn't it? It's the
Blenheim
oh,
Palace is
Berlin.
outside of Oxfordshire.
No, it's not the one. Where's the one in Germany? Oh, you've done me here. It's the one in Berlin, the
I mean, I'll
Kaiserberg,
give
his
you
wife.
Versailles, like the top one, top
Yeah,
palace.
I always wanted to go
But
there.
there's also the palace next to the Louvre. Can't think of
But
what it's
the
called.
other thing they could do to get some money back is actually end the really infuriating subsidies, which Ed Davey agreed to Jack's power. That is really you know, like, so annoying to me, in that they've removed food subsidies, which help everyone have safe, affordable food, and they are still paying these subsidies to American, North American landowners to cut down trees, ship over chips up wood to burn, which is supposedly meant to be more economy, more climate friendly.
Sounds bizarre. That sounds yep. absolutely wild.
The only paper that I've really picked up, so The Guardian have covered it a bit, but The Times, Dominic Lawson, is absolutely infuriated about it. He's written a lot about it.
I'll add this very quickly. I think he's dropped again, the comms. Why don't you just give away the stuff into a charity that raised money for the poor? Why couldn't you have done that?
He wants the money, you know, yeah. he's talking about it.
Like, but that's the point. If you yeah. if you really wanted to show yourself to be like man of people, get your popularity up, and then avoid the scandal that's associated with this, which is going to hack a load of people off. And the papers are just gunning for him on anything yeah. at the moment. The papers couldn't have gunned for that. It would have looked good. Could have gone, yeah, I'm a bit cheeky. I'm going to take a couple of the tickets for the Arsenal games and some suits. But the rest of it's going straight into charity and raising money. Who would have? It would have been really hard for the papers to do that. This is just such a drop ball again.
Do you know what's also about the Sue Gray stuff that's coming out now, that she got a big pay increase? Especially when Starmer said, when Cummings got one, you know, once again, he's putting his own staff above nurses or whatever. And then we've got this. And, you know, whoever leaked that story is incredibly nasty because of the fact that it's causing a massive stink with all the other staff there. So they're seeing that wow. she earns a lot more than them. It's kind of like the stuff that happened, you know, at the BBC, when people's pay started getting leaked. And then everyone's like, oh, he's on more money than me. Why is he on more money than me? And then it caused a massive stink in the BBC. It's the same thing that's happening now within the Labour Party of, how come Sue Gray's getting paid so much more than I am? I do this. And it's going to cause a massive problem in the Labour Party now, I think, because that's one of the things people get real jealous about. When you see someone earning more than you, you don't think they deserve it. Yeah. That can cause real animosity. So that was leaked to the BBC today, I think, or yesterday. And so, you know, whatever's going on within the Labour Party, it's very factional. We know that. But it's amongst the staffers as well, you know, the people who are essentially like, that's what happened to the Boris Johnson, didn't it? It was Cummings had beef with his wife,
yeah,
Harry Johnson, and it was very public. It got very public. And I think we're going to see that again here, where you can see a lot of people sniping at each other. We saw that with Angela Rayner, to be fair, and parts of the Labour Party as well, where people were sniping at her briefly against her.
And they ripped into her, and I was like, seems all right to me. She's allowed a holiday.
No, it wasn't. Not the holiday stuff. I'm talking about internal.
Why could she not go to Ibiza?
I'm talking about internal people. Internal people in the Labour Party were briefly against her. You know, like, you know, wherever you're on holiday, you know, I don't really care that much. But with the internal briefings, it's pretty vicious in there. And I think that's going to come out a lot more with the Sue Gray getting paid about 180,000, I think it is. So she's getting paid more than what's-his-face, Keir Starmer, which is really weird.
Well, so I said we need to pay more, but it is so depressing because we really need good government now. We really need focused, good decisions, and this is
They said what they're about. They talked about the fiscal rules and all this stuff. You know, me and No Justice and loads of others have been talking about this for potentially a year since all of this stuff came out with Reeves. And you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. A lot of people hoped with Labour it'd be different. You know, those economists signed that paper saying, you know, back Labour. And now you've got some of these economists like Blanche Rower saying, I didn't vote for this. But again, you knew what the fiscal rule was, you know, and that's it. That's all they're going to stand on. It's the same thing he said during the leadership contest. He said, I'm going to change the Labour Party so we can win. And then after that, all of the stuff he got rid of, those pledges, some of those pledges he got rid of, because he kept saying, I said, I'm going to turn the Labour Party into a party that can win. And that's what he hinged on. It's the same thing.
I'm sorry to say, we're out. Thank you so much, co-hosts. This is amazing. I'm going to say arrivederci. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much. Welcome.
Bye-bye. See bye. You in 3 weeks.
Be sure to tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.